blessings. Me to be present with you again today on this fourth Sunday to address our community at large. I pray Allah that our address today will be received in the big centers. We had some technical problems, difficulties, I think. Some problem. Don't know exactly what it was, but there was some problem. And I think we still have that problem getting the hookup in the big cities, Philadelphia and New York, and I believe Los Angeles, several of the, in fact, most of the big cities, we're having problems reaching them today. But inshallah, God willing, we will be connected with them soon, I hope, if we are not already connected. We won't hold up the evening, the afternoon. We will go on with our meeting. And if we fail to reach those major regions in our community by this hookup here today, or with this address, we will later send it by recording. Now, today, I would like to talk to you on the great prophetic figures in Scripture and their meaning in the life of society. We read about the creation of the generation of the human family on earth, the birth or the creation of Adam, and that father figure being succeeded by great prophets that followed. Today, we would like to look at these prophets and the father, Adam, the father of the human family, and see just what the meaning is for us in our social, in our community life. All of these figures represent something in the lives of each and every one of us, or in the community life. They're not just men who came to preach religion or to preach a gospel or a message from God. They themselves represented a step in the building of the world. And when we understand them in this sense, then we know what Allah wants, what Almighty God wants for us in our community life. The Adam, the man Adam, represents a step up the ladder for society. Says the Bible says that God made the man from the dust of the earth. When we study the Bible very closely, we see that Adam is said to have had an existence by himself. He was existing by himself before anyone else was made or created. He became lonely, and God, so the Bible says, made for him a helpmeet. A helpmeet. The word is not helpmate. Helpmate, H-E-L-P-M-A-T-E. The word is helpmeet. H-E-L-P-M-E-E-T. Helpmeet. in Scripture to help the true believer come to the understanding. But those hints are so overshadowed by misleading words that it takes Almighty God Himself to guide you to the truth. Otherwise, you would not get the truth. Those people who composed the language of the Bible, they did a masterful job of covering the truth. This is not a revelation. That is, the fact that the Bible is covered, the truth is covered in the Bible, that's no revelation. The Bible tells you that it's covered. And it says, blessed is he that reads and does understand. The Bible tells you plainly the book is covered. And many of the chapters of the book are called by the Christian theology terminology that is used in Christian theology. They are called allegorical books, such as the book, the Revelation, the last book of the Bible, and many others are called the allegorical books, books that are highly symbolic, loaded with symbolism. Most of the Bible is loaded with symbolism, and none of the Bible speaks straightforward without also rehearsing that straightforwardness in the next breath, or the next two breaths. So the Bible has been put together for a select few. It has not been put together for the masses. The general public has the Bible in their hands, and really, the fact is, it was not put together for them. It was put together for a very, very select few. And those people, they know how to safely read the Bible. But we don't know how to safely read the Bible. We read the Bible thinking it to be straight words from God. Words coming to our ears, or to our eyes, straight from God. And that's not the case. If you read the introduction to a good Bible, if you read the leading introduction to a good Bible, you will see that they are telling you that the Bible is a book composed of history, composed of ancient wisdom, composed of a lot of things. And if you're not aware of this, you'll be led astray. But still, they give the name holy to the Bible. Why is the name holy given to the Bible? Why is it called all the Word of God? Simply because God's Word has been shrouded in history. Shrouded means wrapped up, dressed. It has been wrapped up or dressed in history, wrapped up or dressed in ancient wisdom. So all of those things that are not really the direct word or the direct teachings of God that we find in the Bible serve to dress the Word of God. In serving to dress the Word of God, it must also be identified as of God. It's of God, but the appearance is misleading. It has the appearance of man's talk, even Satan's talk. Often under the dress of Satan's talk, we can discover the guidance of God. Oh man, this is a strange thing you're talking about here. Yes, it is a strange thing. The strangest thing that ever happened in human beings' lives is the writing of the Bible and the distribution of that writing to the general society. That's the strangest thing that ever happened in the history of human beings. People long ago, they had their mythologies, they had their secret teachings, religious teachings, but never have any people before the making of the Bible put together a package like that that is designed to attract people to it, gain their heart, confident in motion, but at the same time, is designed at the same time to disrupt the natural life of the people and turn human forces in against human society. The Bible is designed to punish those who will pick it up without the consent of the master that put it together. And it was left conveniently for the ignorant Gentiles to pick up. To tell you the truth, I don't know how prepared you are to receive it, but to tell you the truth, the Bible is the tool of war. The Bible is the main tool of war against the Gentile world. Those religious people who wanted to take over a new land, a new people, so that they would have a force, they picked the Gentiles to take over. They picked the Gentiles. And they devised a way to bring them victory, and that way was the Bible. They were too small physically to fight the Gentiles. They couldn't even maintain their independence in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was overrun by the Roman, his name slips me. Begins with a T. I can't think of it. No, not Tiberius. Titus, I believe so. That's right. He defeated the Romans. Destroyed Jerusalem. He was a Roman who destroyed Jerusalem. Jerusalem, before it was destroyed, was under Rome as a colony or puppet government. And there was such rebellion going on there from the fanatical Jews that the Romans had to just destroy it. But if you study the history closely, you can see that the Romans had help. The Romans had help. Here's another strange revelation, but it's true. The Jews, when they saw that they weren't going to be successful in carrying out their plan from Jerusalem, they decided to destroy Jerusalem. They destroyed Jerusalem. They were doing very well under the Romans, but they themselves instigated their own destruction, the destruction of Jerusalem. They didn't want a government there anymore. The Bible will tell you very plainly that they then decided to migrate into the Western nations, Greece and Roman nations. And the Bible tells us very clearly that they were promised by their fathers, they say by God, but no, not by God. Their God, the Satan. Man, how can you say such things? Jesus said, I know your father. He beheld him fall from heaven like lightning. Who is that? Satan. Who is he talking to? The Jew in Jerusalem. He said, I beheld him fall from heaven like lightning. Say, you are the children of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do, and that's in the New Testament right now. So don't think these things are shocking and that the imam is talking crazy talk. Just keep your eyes open and do a bit of intelligent thinking. There's enough light out now to get you to see the truth. Yes. So, these people were promised that the Gentiles were promised the Gentiles as their inheritance. What is the meaning of inheritance? If I inherit something, it means that that thing I inherit becomes my possession, my property. Is that right? How can a people inherit another people? I'm giving you plain Bible. This is not my language. This is plain Bible. The Bible says in plain language that you shall inherit the Gentile. And the Gentiles, as any Gentile, who's a Gentile? He'll tell you, the Western world, us. He will say us, the Western world. Jew and Gentile. Eastern, the Jew, Semitic people, and Gentile, the non-Semitic people. And particularly, the people of, specifically, the people of Europe who have now come to America. The European and the American are the typical Gentiles. By their description, not by mine, by their description. All right, so the book says plainly that you will inherit the Gentiles. Who does they give as the speaker? They give God as the speaker. That God said to them, you shall inherit the Gentiles. How far does this inheritance go? The Bible says their rulers, their princes, their prince and their princes shall bring you their wealth, shall pay tribute to you, homage to you, and put their wealth at your feet. So does that leave us guessing? We don't have to wonder what is the nature of this inheritance. It's not the inheritance of the hearts. It's the inheritance of the pocketbooks. The Bible plainly says that the Jew shall inherit the pocketbooks of the Gentiles. No interpretation. I'm giving you the straight words of the Bible. Okay? I want to make this plain because you are used to hearing me interpret things. I want you to know that this is not any interpretation. Straight words of the Bible. You can find it in these same words in the Bible. All right. So who will deal with this? Nobody but a God sent man. The worldly people, the worldly preacher, he's not going to deal with this. He's afraid to deal with it. In fact, the words are there in boxcar letters almost. The worldly preacher won't even see it. He can't see it because his mind has been captured and his eyes have been trained not to see what it shouldn't see, lowest boldly, right there before the eyes. Yeah. Mind you, I'm not saying I'm a prophet now, but I'm saying that God has guided us and has guided me to the understanding. And the Holy Quran says, Allah guides whomsoever he pleases. This is whosoever he guides, he has guidance, sure. And whosoever he leaves without guidance has no guidance. So all praises to Allah. Now let us, we want to know first the shocking truth of our world that we call the Judaic and Christian world. And that shocking truth is this, that there was a conspiracy made against nations, people, nations, human beings, to dominate their lives and rule them without their observation. Take over their life and rule them without their observation. An invisible rule over your life. And who is this in scripture? is some spooky spirit somewhere. Satan is no spooky spirit anywhere. Satan is a real diabolical mind that plotted to take the human world from human beings and give human life to destruction, to self-destruction. A real mind that challenged God. Says, God, these human beings are not worth the dignity that you're trying to give them. This is the language that the scripture puts in the mouth of Satan. Says that he says to God, he's not worthy. Says he will call bloodshed. Talking about God, man. You can't trust this world to human beings. Satan telling God, you can't trust this world to human beings that are influenced and dominated by goodness. You have to have human beings, God, that are dominated by fire, intelligence. And this people that you're getting ready to develop into leadership, world leadership, they're going to give themselves to goodness. They're going to be holy holies. They're not going to have the strength to rule the world. You need a cold calculator, God, like me. This is the language in Scripture. I'm just giving it to you in plain modern language. In the Scripture, you'll find it in the old language. I'm giving it to you in plain modern language. Says if you turn the world over to these goody-goodies, then there's going to be constant fighting and killing and war. They won't be able to control it. Say, why put me down, God? I've been serving you all this time. You've been allowing the brains, intelligence, the rule. Say, how come now you're going to give the rule to heart, to the human heart, over the brain? This was Satan's argument to God. Is that right? Says, how come now you want to give the rule to the human heart over the brain? Say, haven't I been ruling all right? So he said, if you are determined to do this thing, God, then at least give me a period of time in which to prove that I'm right. Can you imagine this? Here is an intelligence, a mind, that acknowledged the existence and the supremacy of God, but have the nerve and the ignorance to challenge God while being blind of his own disrespect. But Satan challenged God, but he didn't say it was a challenge. He said, leave me, give me time. Says, and I will show you that they are not worthy. That human beings, the goodness, human goodness is not trustworthy. You need to trust human intelligence, God, not human goodness. This is what Satan said. Yes. He said, I'm going to go to them from the front. Satan saying, I'm going to come to them as a devil. He said, and I'm going to go to them from behind. Meaning I'm going to sneak up on them, they won't see me. He says, I'm going to come to them on the left. Meaning I'm going to appeal to them in their weakness. Says that I'm going to come to them on the right. Meaning that I'm going to pretend to be supporting their strength. Says that when I have finished with them, God, that you won't find many faithful. And the scripture says, God told Satan, he said, this plan of yours is well and good with me. So Satan, that this scheme you have gotten together is well and good with me. He says, go on and deceive whomsoever you will. He says, but there is one you will not get. Meant that there's a certain type of on this earth that Satan has not the power to get. So Satan told him, I'll get everyone except your elect or your very best one. Satan told him that. According to scripture. Now, mind you, this language is allegory. Allegory. It says a lot. It carries the message. But it's allegory. Don't think that there was a conversation between a person and God. A wicked person and God. There was no conversation like that. God hears man's whispers. And God revealed the whispers of man. And then remind man that this is the challenge you made to me. So there was no conversation going between God and Satan. Satan was conceiving these evil plans and making these evil, unfair judgments against the human being. And God heard his whispers and directed the prophet to put his whispers in an allegory, a conversation with God. And so God says, this is no place for you to behave thus. So get yourself down from here into the earth altogether. What did he mean? What is the allegory saying? It is saying that God rejected that particular mind that rejects the right of human goodness to rule human society. If human goodness is not qualified to rule human society, tell me what is. Intelligence has proven to be a threat as well as a benefit. But human goodness is always a benefit. Is that right? If human intelligence has a human goodness with it, good. That's the best. But we'd rather have the ignorant society giving itself to human goodness than to have the learned society rejecting human goodness and ruling the society with the rod of wickedness. And this is what happens when human being is not there with the human goodness to check the rule of the intelligent people pick up the rod of wickedness and turn the life of the people against themselves. Is this a fact of history? Yes. All right. So, let's go on with this. Now that we have the conspiracy before our eyes, you know that Bible is just not a prayer book. It's a war tool. And I mean the most successful war tool that have ever been invented are used by enemy forces. No planes, no warships have opened this world up for Satan. It has been the Bible. The Bible has opened the world up for Satan. And those people with the bombs and the warships and all of these physical tools of war, they are dupes, servants of the major war tool, and that is what we call, that tool is the Holy Bible, so-called Holy Bible. That's the major war tool. It's designed to fire the Gentile up and make the Gentile feel he can conquer anything because God is with him. But while firing him up, it also distorts his human nature, gives him artificial humanity. Gives him an artificial heart. A heart and a mind allowing the practice of double justice. Double justice. He can execute crime
against one segment of the society and see it as just. Let any honest psychiatrist, let any honest historian, let any honest psychologist or sociologist or social scientist or political scientist, let any honest authority on the development of the critical problems in the development of society, let any honest authority study the history, study the development in Western society. And if he doesn't make the same interpretation that I make, he will not say anything. The honest man will not speak, or he will tell you what I'm saying. Western society is a freak of human nature. Western society has not come into existence naturally. It is not a normal birth into civilization. It's a freak, abnormal birth. It is the creation of Satan himself. Not in spooky form, in human form. But the sad reality is, the human form of Satan has lost all of its humanness. It's nothing but insensitive creatures through and through. Insensitive creatures through and through. Oh, how can you say this about Western society when Western society has championed democracy and human rights, human dignity? Yes! Didn't I just tell you that Satan said, I'm going to come to them from their left? Meaning I'm going to appeal to their weaknesses and bring them down with that particular strategy. And I'm going to come to them from their right, meaning I'm going to support their strength, what they stand for. And the same scripture says, no one knows the depths of Satan. But God, we don't know the extent of the wickedness that these people have devised against human rule on earth. Understand that the thing that they were fearing is human rule on earth. And hasn't that been the struggle of people, the struggle of society? The struggle of societies have been to put the human being in authority, to put human rule over savage rule, beastly rule, wicked rule. That has been the struggle of society. And Jesus, the figure in the Bible, represents a victory for human rule. But look what they did to that Jesus. They crucified him according to their Bible. The Holy Quran says they crucified him not. Says, but it was made to appear to them as though he was crucified. What is the explanation? Jesus, the person, wasn't crucified. Jesus, the truth, the message, was crucified. So those who compose the Bible language that we have today, they put the crucifixion of Jesus' message and the nature, human nature, that message is supposed to effect. They put that under the crucifixion and made you think it's the man that is crucified. But Allah showed Prophet Muhammad that no, the individual wasn't crucified. That wouldn't have been no crucifixion for us to worry about. For men are crucified and new men raised rise up. But if they crucify my word, then that word cannot reach them to effect the Christ life that I want in all of them. And that is the real crucifixion of the Christ. No, they crucified him not, but it was made to appear that they did such. Holy Quran said they neither did they crucify him nor slaughter him nor kill him. but it was made to appear to them. Meaning it was made to appear to the world that Jesus the person had been crucified. I know this is a heavy revelation to put on you. But it's time. It's time. And Satan can't do anything about it. He crucified for his last time. He cannot crucify again. All praise due to Allah. Now let us quickly go to these great figures in the book and see, can we find something? Can we get a blackboard and a walking mic? Oh, I have a walking mic. It's all right, isn't it? I got a walking mic. Portable mic. We're going to look at these heroes and see if we can get something out of Scripture that was intended for us. Satan has been given us what wasn't intended for us. We want to get what was intended for us. This world we call the religious world. Not so much the Muslim world as it is the so-called Judaic and Christian world has been arguing with science. All doing the rise of science have executed men for bringing scientific truth to us in ignorance or out of ignorance. Ignorant priests, ignorant Christian rulers executed truthful science, who brought to us good, helpful science because they were ignorant of the nature of their scriptures. They thought the Bible was to be read literally. And they condemned men of science with the literal word of the Bible and physically executed those men. I think his name is pronounced Galileo. Galileo locked, imprisoned the man, kept him in jail, and then killed the man. He was not the only one. Many of them. Why? Because he said something about the world, the physical world, that didn't gel right with what they thought the Bible was saying about the physical world. Is that right? These are facts from history. So who have killed those innocent? Who really killed those innocent men? It was Satan who corrupted the language of God and led people to go astray or to think that they were different with each other when they were really in agreement. Yeah. Now we have the board here, and I just want to go over to the board and bring your attention to some things that some of you won't see, but those that are fit to see will see. You know, I read the scripture, especially the Quran, and it tells us those people who have made up their minds, who have taken the firm position in their hearts, that they are not going to accept no religion from Almighty God. Or that they are not going to accept that there exists something supreme, superior, and independent of this physical world and of themselves. If they can't bring God down to their level, or can't fit God into the scheme of material things, they say they reject him. They don't want it. The scripture says, of those people, that don't worry about them, prophet. Say, if you would cause a door to open up in the sky, and they saw angels walking out, they wouldn't believe it.
resurrected Prophet Muhammad not to try to work no miracles on you, that you weren't worth any miracles. I'm not talking about the good people. We're talking about that staunch enemy of goodness who's in the army of Satan. Either he's in there as a dupe or he's serving him consciously. But I would tell you, Satan don't have any conscious Belalian soldiers. All Belalians that work in his army are dupes. Be here 4 or 5 hours. I'm just going to show you some things. And you who read the Bible, you might recognize it. You who don't, maybe you'll run into it. Or maybe it won't be necessary for you to be bothered with it. You have the heart to just be guided to the right. The Bible says of a figure, a major figure in the Bible, called Jacob, that this particular Jacob went about undoing the works of Abraham. It doesn't put it in these words, but I said, you who have the eye to read and the mind to conceive, you will know what I'm talking about. That Jacob went about undoing the works of Abraham to put himself in power. And Jacob is called the supplanter. Now, a supplant is called, I think, with two P's, isn't it? S-U-P-P, L-A-N-T. Is that right? L-A-N-T. Now, supplant is spelled supplant. S-U-P-P. But how is it pronounced? Supplant. The P is pronounced like a B. Sub-plant. What does sub mean? Under, beneath. Under or beneath. Sub-plant means to plant under or beneath. All right? But the spelling is not like this. It's like this. So you won't get it. You hear the word, but you won't get the message. Sub-plant, the plant underneath, put underneath. So this particular Jacob, called Jacob, he goes about in the world subplanting. The Bible says that twins were born in the womb of a certain woman. One of these twins was Jacob. Is that right? The other one was his brother, Esau. All right. So let's put these on the board. We're going to go to Adam, but if we go to these things, we'll see Adam a little faster. So we have Jacob, and we have Esau. It's spelled E-S-A-U, isn't it? Okay. Now, let's take off this supplanter. And as we go through this, I think we're going to put these figures on the board, their names on the board. Jacob is called the supplanter. Esau is not given a name right away. But later on, the book says, Edom is Esau. The Edomite is Esau. This is Bible. Say, what chapter, what verse, G? You find it yourself. It's the Bible. There's Edom is Esau, Edom. Edom is E-D-O-M. And there are the Edomites. The Edomites. This was a great and powerful people in the history. the Edomites, the Edomite kingdom and the Edomites. What is it telling us? Jacob is Israel. What is